Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for August 17th, 2025. Marisol, welcome. What's up?
So I don't know if you remember where we last left off. This was
Refresh
quite
it for me and the listener.
I was learning bookkeeping and thinking about starting my own little thing, and I experimented with it for a bit, and it wasn't the direction that I wanted to go in. And I think since we last spoke, I started pole dancing.
Okay.
And it turns out I'm not too bad at it. And I am starting to post videos consistently and kind of like sniff around in this world of like, how are people monetizing this? And I see that there's just an array of possibilities to earn income through social media or online, digital products, communities. And I'm exploring that with this niche of pole dancing. I am not a stripper. I'm not interested in doing any kind of OnlyFans. I'm trying to figure out, is there a way to do this where I'm not posting tutorials? Because it seems like giving away free information and like teaching online is like the obvious path, and a lot of other pole dancers, that's what I see them doing. And so I learned how to start my own subscription kind of page within my website. It turns out there's like Squarespace has, the resources for you to build your own little community and sell your own digital products. And so I kind of did my version of a subscription, like a Patreon. And it took some legwork to build it. But I it seems like I have like the very bare bones infrastructure in place. And I'm just a little, I guess, maybe I'm just not really confident in the idea that just posting videos is really something that I don't know. I think I have to start advertising it now and directing traffic to, this resource that I have. And I'm kind of not feeling confident that the idea of the pole dancing videos is really gonna bring in any income or that anyone would really have interest in it, even though when I do post, it seems to be like people, women in particular within the community, are like inspired. They message me and it feels encouraging, so I think I just wanted to come re return here to get my brain going and like just trying to figure out all the possibilities of like what I can do with this. I don't want to just dismiss it as like oh, it's never going to work, and that's where I'm stuck, And I also really don't want to teach online. I don't want to spend my days creating videos to teach. I prefer to create videos to perform, like from a artistic, perspective. And it's a very exhausting work, physically. And I don't necessarily get excited at the idea of like teaching, or whereas I know some other of my friends do. That's sort of, the answer for them. I don't know if anyone here is familiar with this world. It's really new to me.
The world of
Of pole dancing.
oh, I took a class.
What's that?
I took a class.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Yeah. Pardon?
How did it go?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And the thing is that women take these classes for a wide variety of reasons. And my teacher was amazing. She looked like Lena Dunham in Girls' Days. Okay. So she was very short. Thick is how I would describe. Like, if you were walking on the street, you would never give her a second glance. I mean, she looked like Lena Dunham in Girls. When she was dancing, You could not keep your eyes off of her. It was mesmerizing.
Yeah.
It was inspiring, but it also gave you such an appreciation for the body and what she could do with it. She was so strong. Like it, she was just like, and I was like, I didn't tell her this. I mean, I gave her lots of compliments, you know, and she was a lovely teacher and everything, but because this, when you say it, it comes out in a very strange way. But I was like, you are the perfect pole dancing teacher because you defy all the preconceptions that anyone would have, even the preconception of like, well, if you look like that, you certainly, you won't. But she, oh my God, she was amazing. So anyway, but everybody in class was taking that class for a wide variety of reasons, just for themselves or just to do it privately for their partner or so many different reasons. Strength training even be so strong and you get so bruised. But anyway, it was really, really fun and I really liked it, loved it. So I want to clarify, this is a great discussion, and I definitely think that there is potential here. Okay, so what I hear you saying that you do not want to do any kind of OnlyFans thing where it's about you and your body and
Explicit
the male
footage, more
gaze or
interested.
whatever. Yeah. Nor teaching. You're just that's
I
not
not
what you're
necess
wired for.
I think I would be interested in coaching, but
Right.
it's not my first.
Teaching pole dancing.
And
Dancing.
acting too, and that's another discussion, but right now I'm like
Yeah.
trying to figure out the pole dancing.
So it's sort of like now I want to know what do you want to do with this performance thing that you really like? What are you trying to draw people back to pay you for? You want them to become patrons?
Yes.
Is that how you want to make the money?
It's sort of how I've set it up and
Okay.
introduced like the package, the membership package, that this is a space that I'm building, and you would be supporting me. You would be, a founding supporter in creating this space where can I read you like the little
Yeah,
blip of what I
do
have?
it.
Let me open my Squarespace really quickly. The page is okay. Members only. I called it members only, so creative. Are founding supporters who help shape a new space for my work as a pole artist. This is an invitation to get closer and be a part of what moves me. Subscribe and gain access to the quieter moments, reflections, and discoveries. Witness the work before it's polished. The process as it's unfolding. And I'm offering behind the scenes content to specific performances that I'm training for. So one being I just got into a professional pole dancing competition. I really was surprised by that. And I'm training
Congratulations.
for that now. And I figured, well, that'd be interesting if people wanted to see behind the scenes of that. Or I could just post it for free, but also like I don't, I could also put it behind a paywall. So there's like I feel like there's endless possibilities that I am not even aware of.
Yeah.
And I'm just new to this world of digital products, memberships, and generating my own ideas on how to monetize stuff.
Yeah. So I understand that Patreon is taking its, you know, name from patron of the arts, which is like, I love your art, let me give you some money. But I think that longevity is where you're actually bringing your audience into the mix instead of the wording around, watch me do my stuff. It would behoove you to pick an aspect of this that you're sort of emphasizing in your work. It could be body positivity. It could be reclaiming sexuality. It could be expanding your own potential. It could be inspiring you to consider what else you could do. Like all of the different reasons people, women are attracted to like this art form. Because then the conversations are really about the bigger picture and then the actual art form and you doing it behind the scenes and like your journey through the theme of the bigger picture via this art form. Because then there's people who are just interested in what you have to say. And then there's also people who are like, oh, interested in how you're doing your journey through pole dancing. But there'll be people who are, could give or take pole dancing, but are like, wow, here's a woman who's like doing something she's never done before and like learning all this stuff about herself. So, what attracted you to pole dancing? What do you like about it that it's giving you as a person?
I mean, so much of what you said about the experience you had in class, it's opened up my eyes to a world that I knew existed, but where women could really just explore, what like themselves creatively, physically, without the influence of the male gaze. As you're doing it, some women take their videos, and that's specifically what they, want. Everyone goes for a different reason, but that this world exists. And I have a background in ballet. I trained for many, many years growing up, and so it's so sort of like a homecoming to, oh, right, I can move, and I just enjoy. I've always enjoyed that. I'm returning to a past love. And it's sort of defying this idea that I couldn't anymore, that I was beyond the time when I was when I took ballet classes, or that I was good, in a sense. I don't know. I never thought that I had these ideas or thoughts, but I guess I did, and that's what stopped me from dancing. I just kind of grew up. Quote unquote. But now I'm returning to something that I loved dearly when I was growing up. And as a result of all that training in my body, I'm excelling at this faster than the normal person coming off the street with no training whatsoever. And so I'm like winging it. Like, all right, well, I submitted to a competition within like 6 months of me discovering this, and I won for my category. And then I just submitted for another competition that's at higher level, and the girls in my classes all submitted as well, and they have more training than me, but I was the only one who got in. So, and the this competition, though it's professional, is a little step higher than some other competitions. This one is sort seems like it's geared more for the performance aspect. And as an actor, as a storyteller, as a mover, like it kind of combines the things that I know, stage performance, storytelling, movement, and I'm using this competition. I really don't believe in like, winning at a dance competition, but I'm using it as a deadline to like create something that I do enjoy. I enjoy all of that stuff, and the industry right now for actors is it's pretty challenging. So it's been a creative outlet for me. But it also seems like, huh, there might be something here that I could continue to do. Like I could continue to, live or work as an artist, though I'm not my main, direction was acting, is acting. I can still do this as a, to complement, the other sides of me that still exist. So all this to say
Yeah,
that.
all this to say that. I wrote down, I don't know if this like resonates, but like soul on the pole. That's sort of what you're It's the soul's journey that you're going through.
Yeah.
And just by going through your own journey and the way you're going through it, it's inspiring for other people and gives them confidence to go through their own journey that might not have anything to do with pole dancing, but they're just watching you go through the journey with that. So it's you're correct in thinking you have this Patreon, which is really a membership, is basically what it is. And then you have to really tell people in that blurb why are they joining. And I think if you make it out a more inclusive description versus just watch me do my thing, it's help support me. Nobody knows you. No one will feel inspired to just support you. But if you can say like, join me in this, I wanted to create a safe space for this very empowering art form that I think is that think might be inspiring for you to, because I know. Because I have things to share as I go through this journey, as I'm going through this journey that might feel very empowering to whatever journey you're on. Oh, so it's now it's an hour thing. And now I might pay you a couple bucks a month to be able to watch you and think about me and have you think, share your thoughts, which will trigger my thoughts, and then it's this like nice safe space in which to do this. So I think the inclusivity. So what you do then is you use other platforms and other ways to tell people that you have this safe space that you created and they should come and join you. If they too are at the beginning or middle of their own new exploratory journey.
I sort of wrote that like it's a curated space exploring movement and visual storytelling.
Yeah, it's exploring your creativity and physicality, getting back into your body. And on your Patreon, then inside, you would say, I'm sharing my story. I'm talking about our story as women. And there's behind the scenes stuff for those of you who are interested in how I'm putting together routines or how I, got into this or any kind of little technical stuff. So now people know what they're getting and they know the why. There has to be a why. Why am I here? For me, everybody is joining your Patreon for them, not for you.
Yeah.
And your job in the marketing of it is to say why this is such a wonderful place to be, to check into every so often. So I love that you've set up the Patreon and that's one income stream. I might encourage you to create another income stream, which would be a 30, I don't know if you were into Oprah's world, but back in the day, like she would join with like Deepak Chopra and they'd have their 20 days of meditation. And then you could do it every day. I think it would be really interesting for you to have this thing where it's like a 30 days of inspiration to help you to help. You like get back in touch with, muse on, explore your creativity and physicality. And then I give you some money. And then for 30 days, every day I get a video of you doing a routine. It doesn't have to be like a routine, but just doing lovely movements that I cannot do on the pole. And you have a voiceover over that, just saying, sharing something that was meaningful that you have gained from this or learned from this, or even like I had never done this by age. I started doing this at age blah blah blah. And when I started, I didn't think I could. I felt like this, or I was like this. And but then I did just a little something. There is a YouTube channel that I would go and look at every once in a while. And there are more now. I think she was one of the original ones. This little Asian girl. All her YouTube videos were is her and her cute little dog cleaning her one bedroom apartment, but not cleaning like scrubbing, but just she would vacuum or she would like tend to her plants. And it was edited really beautifully. And then she did a voiceover that was just lovely and peaceful and inspiring. And it was peaceful imagery and then her little voiceover. And
What
she,
was the voiceover?
oh, it was just sort of like, some days are really challenging. And this is how I get myself out of a bed. Just like little things that she had learned about
Insight.
how to
Yeah.
deal with life, basically,
Right.
but it was just video of her just doing random things in her house. And there are a lot of these kind of videos out there. So getting a video each day where you're helping the viewer think about things, about themselves, about their limitations, about the stories in their head. Just pull a lot of the same stuff because you coached actors.
I do, yeah.
I mean, it's the same stuff. So, what are the fears and the thoughts that interfere with them performing? Is the same fears and thoughts that interfere with us taking risks in life or believing in ourselves? But what you're doing is you're pairing that with pole dancing visuals. There's a woman online, I think I'm gonna, it's something like the Cottage Fairy. And she lives in this little house out in the woods, and her whole videos is just her picking flowers and making like pies and things, but really random stuff. And then she just has a voiceover over that. And but it's really, they're lovely, peaceful little videos. And you just are like, sure, I'll watch this. So I think that you could have that. And there's a, you want to have, you're a storyteller. So these little snippets every day, 90 seconds, that's it. These little snippets every day that have an arc of a story from fear to courage. That would be a good one. That's very, through the lens of your journey as an artist. It doesn't even have to be your journey as a pole dancer. It could just, or it could be like, and you can have more than one of these, by the way. Or it could be a 30-day thing of like how I even started doing this and why it changed my life. And then just tell us in tiny little bits your story, because people love to hear people's story. Origin stories, best movies always. Like, so, and it's just broken up into 30 chapters of your thing. Over visuals of you pole dancing.
It feels like I just would need to do so much like programming. Like it feels like I've got a TV show, and then I've got to figure out a season of all the stories that I'm going to be putting into this membership, or make this little thing the 30-day challenge, or what I have right now was the pole professional pole competition training. Videos, like little packages of like, oh, what can I watch? What little adventure can I, witness with her? But people post this. Okay, so here's my thing. People post this on their social media for free, and
That's
I'm saying, pay me for it.
well, there's a curation aspect that's not on social media. Social media is just random. It's like little bits, little things. And your social media would be the same thing, just little random things. that people are like, oh, who's that? She's interesting. And then they get curious and then they go search you out. Oh, she has a Patreon. And oh, okay, interesting. You're just trying to get people curious. But when you're asking for money, you just have to be able to tell people what they're getting.
Yeah.
So if you want to do a little 20-day or 30-day or some sort of compilation, and it doesn't have to be dripped out. It could be here's my story in 30 videos. You know, they just know, yeah, then it has to have kind of an arc or a theme, or you know, it has to be more crafted. It's a
Yeah.
story that they're
Yeah.
buying. They're just buying a little story from you, as if you wrote it out in an ebook. You're
Yeah,
just
yeah,
doing
yeah, yeah.
it with visuals. That's just one idea of
Yeah.
how to use your performance into something that someone would pay you for.
Would creating a membership be the best idea, or creating little digital products where people can purchase it on demand be the better idea? Where
What? Continue. I feel like.
I feel like the membership kind of holds me in a place where I need to generate content on a timely basis in order, to give people what they are paying for. Whereas having something on demand, it's like, it's there, you can buy it or not, and there'll be one-time purchases. Whereas a subscription would be, constant if someone does join, and you can cancel at any time. So I'm weighing that out as well. Like, in creating these things, does it make more sense to do one or the other?
Yeah, it and it might be the question might be rather which would I do first? Because it might be that you would add something. You can always stack and get other streams of income. But the thing about a Patreon or a membership, Kickstarter, same thing, those platforms were actually developed for people who had fans to allow them to monetize the fans.
Yeah.
So the issue and the work is always getting the people to know that you exist and that you are giving value to them. And Patreon and memberships, the way most are set up, it's like you have to constantly generate content, you know, and I think people are saturated with a lot of content. So it's harder to get them to want even more content. The diehard fans, it's sort of like people do podcasts, they have 100,000 listeners, and maybe like 3,000 of those listeners are diehard and want more, and we'll give them $6 a month for a while. So it would be a lot of work for you to start a Patreon and start to have to kind of put out stuff with four people. Because if there's four members, you still have to like feed
Give
the
them their money back.
members, even if there's only four. And now you're working for like $24 a month.
And creating and editing videos, I've been teaching myself, and it's
Yeah.
time
Oh yeah,
consuming.
people totally underestimate video editing is the most time consuming. Yeah.
It's on top of pole dancing is really hard. So
So you
get the
want
video
something.
to the performance to be post worthy, video worthy. It's like I'm also training. I'm on the pole a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is an idea, but there's a lot of things to consider here, like timing and energy wise and just resources. I don't have the resources to hire out an editor right now. Right now. I know
Right
that
now.
would be the smarter, that would be the next, step. But in terms of like just little by little growing this, like I guess I'm kind of stuck. I'm like, all right, I had the idea for the infrastructure, but like there's something that doesn't, I think about having, what if I get two followers or two subscribers? I still got to make those videos, and it just, the effort outweighs the reward in that
At
sense.
this stage of the game,
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. So.
So the Patreon is something I would say for later. But why not create? Because you can do like, let's think of a container just as we're talking. So let's say a 20 video, and these videos are under 2 minutes.
Of course, yeah.
A 20 video series of how I'm prepping for this competition. And you can talk about why you wanted to do the competition. You can talk about, things, just talk. It can be bigger picture stuff like your story, your desires, your hopes. And then it can be more detailed tactical stuff too. Like, oh, I had no idea that I needed this and this and this. And like, or I had no idea about the world of like, take us behind the scenes. And then you sell that for $14. So that when someone sees something you on social media, goes to your website and checks you out or clicks the link in your social media bio, and there's like, oh, there's this thing I could like buy for $14 that tells me her whole story. Oh, that's interesting. I'm curious. Let me buy it. And then people who buy that one will probably buy the next one, and will probably buy the next one. And then you slowly put yourself out there for free and mention that, like every so often in your free videos, you're like, I get a lot of questions about like, what's my story? How did I get into this? Go to my website. I tell you, I have a whole little collection that you can buy that tells you my whole story. Oh, cool. And then they go buy that.
So my grand idea was like, oh, I can record myself as I'm training and kind of post like follow me up until, as I train for this competition, end of September, like doing it in real time. And I'm realizing that's a lot of work. And I'm wondering if it's still a good idea to do it like after the competition is over and I have more time to like
Yeah, we
craft
don't
these
need it in
like
real time. No. Okay. So the whole my whole perspective on creating cash flow. Low overhead, what's easy? This is about working this much to get some money, not working this much to get some money and certainly not a little money. What's the least amount of work you can do to make some money? The least.
That's
So
right.
you're telling me this would all be a little bit easier after the competition. So
Yeah.
just film yourself, get all the footage during. And you don't have to do even the direct to camera. If you wanted to do like direct to camera talking, you can film all of that later too.
Yeah.
You can craft your stories around that. And so maybe the timeline for your this little income stream is you do an event and then you produce the content afterwards, and then you do another thing and then you produce the content afterwards. While you're a one-person show, that might be the pace it has to go at. And then what you're trying to do is to get to share yourself and your passion for this and your big reasons why and the behind the scenes, so that people are like, she's just such a cool chick, Marisol. I just love to follow her. I don't know. I'm not, I just, she's neat. You just want people to know you exist and to be like, huh, she's interesting. I like her take on this. Like, she's not a stripper, and she's not like, she just got into this, and it's a way that she connected back with her physicality and sensuality and creativity and courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to figure out everything, like the why, the what you're going to say. If you go back to almost everybody who started out sharing, whether they did it through YouTube or did it through a podcast, it looked just janky and amateur until they found their voice and found the thing. And then you're like, oh, they clicked into their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no one comes out of the box clicked into their thing. It is a progress of finding it. And so what you're starting to do now is to experiment, to find your voice and to find the angle and to find what people are interested in. And that's why you put out all the content to see what pops, to see what gets the likes and the clicks. And then you're like, oh, people really like that. But you always, always, always have to be like, why am I doing this at all? Make money. So how do I do that without killing myself? Yeah.
I feel like I'm like giving people what I said I'm get giving them. I'm not trying to bring you over here to give me money and I like create boring stuff, anything that you could see on my Instagram, it's I just feel like I want to make cool things that are worth it to watch. And I'm sort of like, okay, well, what are those things? I'm like, I don't know. I have footage. Yes.
Yeah, you're finding your
Yeah.
voice. And the thing about it when you go into something, though, like a Patreon, is it puts more pressure on you.
That's what I'm feeling,
It's
like
like,
making this
fucking find
money.
your voice fast. And that's not how we find our voice. We find it at the pace we find it at. And you can you make your Patreon free?
Yeah, people can subscribe
For free?
for free. Oh my, the one that I've built. Yeah, I
No,
see what
I
you
just
mean.
meant as a platform, like they will let you have free
Yeah, free, and
subscriptions.
you receive like limited content, and if you want
Yeah.
more, then you have
Well,
to
you can
join.
make the whole thing free
Yeah.
to just get subscribers.
Yeah.
Now, here's my thing about Patreon, though. Do you get access to the members' emails? Do you get the emails of your subscribers? I don't think so.
You know,
And
I actually haven't been building Patreon specifically. I've like built my own on my own website
okay.
on Squarespace. So that's another thing that I'm factoring in. Like, I think I do get their emails. You have to sign up with the login, and so I get their
Great.
emails once
As
they.
long as you get the emails, and I think on Patreon you don't, and that keeps you tied to the platform,
Thing.
and you can't
Yeah.
email them and send them other things. That's the great thing about Substack, is they let you download all the emails. That was like a big innovation on
Right.
their end. Yeah, so this is through your own website. It just functions like a Patreon. Well, why don't you just make it free? Join us for free, and you can always put a price tag on that later. And that way, and you can just say, I post periodically. So they're not, no, first of all, no one's like waiting to get the email, but you don't want to overpromise and then kill yourself to deliver. So just say, I post periodically, but this is a place where you can, and do they get to interact with you? Like, do you answer questions? What's the,
I don't have that set up. No, I don't want
yeah.
that. I think we could do that on social media and be able to interact. I don't want to build like community right now. Like, that's just so much to bite off right now,
So it's just like, if you want to hear about my journey, so instead of follow my journey, because that implies real time, but if you would like to hear about this and I share my stuff, sign up. It's free. Because you can always, I would say you, in, I'm totally understanding about, I'm not interested in building a community. I get that
Right now, at
100%.
least.
But you might want to set up an email so that if I join, I'm getting your videos. I could, like, email me if you have a question or whatever, because you want to get feedback so
Engagement.
that you have some idea, or send out a poll every once in a while. Hey guys, which part of this, which content do you like the best? Just so you're using your audience to give you feedback so that you know which direction to go in. And you can do that with polls or just asking them all via email, like, hey, yeah, you've been here 6 months. What do you like the most about what I post? Stuff like that.
There was a loophole. I was doing some research that people are using with like the close friends list on Instagram, and like if you join my subscription, DM me with your confirmations code, and I'll put you on the close friends list, and I will post exclusive content for just the close friends, and that's how I'd be able to like keep them engaged, through social media.
Yeah.
Because Instagram has its own subscription option, but you have to have like a minimum of 10,000 followers and all of that stuff. So, I guess to bypass that, people are using, or brands are using, close friends lists. So that's just one way.
Yeah. And then you want to get them from the close friends list to give you their email at some point. Like that, you're always trying to have them off the platform onto your platform. That's always the goal. So you get their email and then you can communicate and sell them things, and offer them things. So you're starting to see how this works. It's like you put yourself out there, but you have a place for them to go. You tell them to go to the place, and then you start sharing that kind of content. So then you can start to differentiate, okay, this is this kind of content, this is this kind of content. And then eventually you have some people that when you create some sort of product, you can offer it to them and some will give you money for it. And you just start keep building and building. And experimenting and experimenting. And we can't even imagine right now what this could turn into. But the only way you'll find out is if you start it. And you could tell yourself, okay, I'm going to do these things for 6 months. And then I'll see how I like it. I'll see if I. If this is groovy, if I need to change something, what's not working? Yeah. But I think pole dancing holds a fascination for women, enough women, certainly. And layered with the talking about the different themes of the why behind this resonates with people and would bond them to you if they share that point of view. And are you in the Abundance Bound community platform, like where I could send you a private message? Okay, so I'll look for those things I was talking about online because they'll really give you an idea. Because that's another important thing is to look around at how what other very different people are producing their content because it could give you ideas of like, oh my God, I never thought I could just do it like this. It doesn't have to be me performing to the actual music I'm performing to. It could be me overlaid with voiceover and a different kind of music underneath. Like, there's so many ways.
I've been in this research mode. I have a relationship with Chat GPT now that I never thought that I'd have, and I'm basically asking, like, is there anyone else like me out there? And I haven't found anyone doing it yet. I love to, outside of what I see pole dancers are doing on their social media.
What I would look for though is not people who else, I mean, definitely look at who else out there is doing the pole dancing thing, but I would also look at who else out there is doing this with ballet or with gymnastics or with like who else is, and because then you can take the stuff they're using and then put it on the pole dancing. Yeah, because there might be some really creative ways people are presenting their art and attracting people to pay them for the art.
Musicians as well. I mean, like, I've like looking at anyone creative, like, how are you monetizing your work?
Yeah. What are they doing for free? And then what are they doing for monetization? Yeah, but I think that you're so, this combination of your background is so perfectly positioned for you to. Be someone that people would want to listen to because you're a storyteller, you understand human, the psyche from your coaching, and you're doing something that's innately interesting and it's beautiful to watch. So yeah, you've definitely are got something here. Yeah.
Still, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So keep exploring. And as you learn things, come back and we can all always talk about the monetization thing. But I think the charging a price for a membership right off the bat puts a lot of pressure on you. So, but setting up a membership, having it free and getting people into your world is a great thing to start yesterday.
You suggest having a free, like having a baseline of it being free, but also like having a paywall, like so they can see as they're perusing whatever the space is that there is some stuff behind a paywall that if you wanted to, like there is the option.
Once you're ready to charge for things, it's always great to have a two-tier thing, you know, to be like, hey, want to upgrade to a paid? We're doing this. Because sometimes I've bought things for a month even to be like, because I want that. I want to know. I want that piece of content. So I'll give somebody a monthly. I do that in Substack all the time of like, oh, I want to read the rest of this article. Here's $5 or whatever. Yes. I wouldn't go out the gate that way though, because it puts pressure on you until you feel you have like a little, it could be little library of video content that you can then throw up and throw a paywall in front of that and go, hey, I've got this and this and this and this and this if you're interested. And then, but you have to understand that memberships are ongoing monthly things that people assume they're going to get new stuff in versus a one-time payment that unlocks this library. So, and I don't want you, the thing that kills memberships the most is when the creators just feel burdened to keep on the treadmill of creating, creating,
Oh,
creating.
I see this right away, and I was like, no. Like
Yeah.
I, as an actor, we have burned ourselves out over and over again. I was like, I see it. And then there's got to be a smarter way.
Yeah. But if your website would let you do a one-time thing that opens the door to this little library of content, that would be a great next step and a quick next step for you to just start monetizing with
Like,
one-time payments that unlock.
have access for a certain amount of time for 10 days or a week or whatever.
Depends what's in there. Yeah. You could put a time limit on it. I would do like 30 days so people have enough time to digest it. Yeah. But then you might as well just make it a monthly payment and then they can cancel. A one-time payment is sort of like you have the key, the door's unlocked. You can go in anytime you want, and if I add something to the library, if I choose to add, it's there, it's for you, it's open. It's like a one-time payment gives you access. A membership is like you have access as long as you're paying me monthly. You can decide.
Ongoing access as long
Yeah,
as.
ongoing versus like you've kind of bought the access. Because I wouldn't make it like access for 10 days. That's.
Well, it's sort of like going on to Amazon and purchasing the movie, one time purchase, you have it for a certain amount of time, right?
I would wonder, and I don't know, but I would wonder if people. We have already, as a society, assigned value to certain things in certain ways. So people understand, oh, a movie, I'll probably watch it once. If I really like it, at least I have 20 days or 2 days to watch it again. Or I'll watch it and then mom will watch it. Like, but that's a movie. That's what we think of as a movie. And you don't want this to be very complicated for people either. Like, oh, wait, I thought I had more time. I didn't count the 10 days. Like, you know, it's just like, look, one time access, you can have it forever. Or it's a monthly thing. Just as long as you keep paying monthly, you have access to the thing. People understand that. You don't have to explain it to them, but the value they put on Patreon isn't the same value they put on a movie. You know, we'll pay a little bit more for sometimes for a movie than even for a Patreon. So you kind of have to give people what they understand and what they want if you're charging them money for it. Make it easier for you, for them, for
I
everybody.
know, make it easier for me so we don't have to answer the same question over and over again. I mean,
Yeah.
you would be doing if it's not
Yeah.
fun.
So, but you would just frame it as I post this stuff for free periodically, and I will share it with you. But I have these videos, the set of 10 videos, and if you want access to that, you pay a monthly fee. So just pay for a month and watch. You can tell them, pay for a month, watch it all. If you don't
Cancel
get it to
anything.
it, pay for another month, and then you'll have, you know, just when you're done, cancel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So create a free tier and start with that. Just
Yeah.
a free tier, start with that and see
Yeah.
how that goes. And in the meantime, pre like collect footage
Yep.
and I guess do post-production, just like figure out a series of videos that I could package
Yep.
into like this one event. Okay.
Yeah. And then it's about getting good at communicating the value of why those are valuable and why they should pay. What are they going to learn? What is it going to do for them? For them. They're drawn to you by how you make them feel about them. We are drawn to people because of our feelings for them. We say it's because of them, but it's not really. It's because of our feelings for them or what they're doing for us. Me, 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 me. Your person is concerned about them, not you. Yeah. Okay. So food for thought.
Yes.
But you're. I love that you're experimenting with this. I think it's a, I would call it a rich vein. I think there is definitely some gold in that vein. So keep tapping it to find it. Yeah. You're doing the right things. You're thinking in the right ways. And you will never regret learning skills of video editing and audio editing. It's great skills to have.
No, it's actually really great in this day and age, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ileana, all right. You sent in, are you? Great. Okay. Ileana is cash flow kitten with this particular side business, which involves you need a budget, which is like budgeting software. So let me give a general lay of the land and then we'll dig into the questions. So you've been doing speaking engagements, sort of teaching people like, hey, this is amazing. Here's how it works. How's how it different from the other systems? And you're really loving the like presentation part of it, and you're, it's being well received. It taps into your performer side of you. And you gave a talk for an organization, and you were like, hey, this organization like pairs really well with you need a budget. Maybe I should like go to that company and say, hey, this organization, like maybe there's some partnership here. And the person who's at the head of the organization was like, hey, that sounds like a, I'm very interested too. I like you need a budget. I think it works well with my company. Let's talk about how this could be a thing. And then you were like, oh, this is so great. And look at all the, okay, wait, why was I doing this in the first place? Like, I like this idea of, and this points out a really great thing. Can I do it is very different than do I want to do it or should I do it? Like, those are all separate things. Good questions, all of them, but very, very different. And we can get very excited when we start to see different potentialities. And when other people come to us and go, oh my God, we could do this and this and this and this. It's very exciting. But you can lose sight of like, oh, but wait, I actually am here for the cash, like the easy cash, because this isn't actually the main thing I want to do. And it can quickly be bloom into the main thing when you are, like you are, smart and capable of growing anything you set your mind to, really. And you've had success in multiple things. So this would be another success, but it does take you into a direction of utilizing resources towards something that we need to keep questioning. Does this need to grow like that or that big or right now or that kind of stuff? So that's where we're at, all these questions. First of all, congratulations on the good reception, the fact that you are really enjoying this, the fact that you're like, I actually like personal finance. Who knew? Like this, I'm groovy. I love that. And that you've done some free talks for friends and stuff on investing, and then people were requesting you. That's always an amazing like indicator of like, oh, people are like asking for this. Good to know. So this is coming together in a lovely way, but I am also on the side of like, and where do you actually want to put most of your resources? That's the question. And I'm glad you have the awareness so early that the coaching one-on-one of setting up that's not your favorite part. Good to know. What you really would love to be is like the face of something, the teacher, the presenter, the like, let's get people interested in this. And then they can go sign up and coach with somebody else on how to do it. Very good to know because you could easily create a coaching business and then be like, I don't like this. Just like someone could set up a Patreon and be like, oh God, and now I have to keep creating month after month after month after month. Yeah, you don't want to create something you don't like. Very important. Okay, so you're thinking great. And you said at the end I that you really appreciated these conversations where we're like, this could happen in ways you can't even think of right now or conceive and be open to opportunities coming. And I think you taking that on and opening yourself up, obviously, things are coming. Okay, so let's talk. So, where are you at now? Like, do you want to pitch the you need a budget corporate and be like, I really think you need me to help you with this of whatever. Like, what would you like to do for them? What would you want them to give you money for?
That's a great question. I think that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. I think that company has a non-traditional earner problem. Their software is so well suited to help non-traditional earners, and their marketing really misses people. Like, there's a post on the Reddit every day, like, I'm a non-traditional earner. Is this going to work for me? And it's like, this is the number one thing you need. So I think, like, I know that I have expertise in that area that could help them. I don't know that they know that they need more non-traditional earners, but I know it. And I know that they also, like, they're reinventing themselves a little bit right now, and they've like re they're changing a lot of the verbiage that they use, and they're changing a lot of the way that they're marketing. And I think I could be valuable there. Part of me is like, do we send them the recording of my presentation? And I'm like, yeah, you need me. Look at this. It's really good. Or I don't know. I think it would be great if I could be a like if I could do like a 10 episode YouTube thing about how this is specifically good for non-traditional earners. Or consult with the marketing team they already have about how they can better communicate with non-traditional earners. Like, please stop using the word paycheck everywhere. Those are the two versions of it that feel helpful to me. Like, either a consulting-y kind of thing or a contract-y kind of, I'll build a thing for you kind of thing are the things that come to mind.
And I'm assuming, do they have a YouTube channel where they have people on there doing the things and you're like, oh, great. Well, I could be one of those people.
Yeah, they have like two talking head personalities that do two different things. They're actually siblings, like it's a brother and sister. But they work separately, and one of them does more like dedicated videos about different things about the software, and then the other one does his channel has changed a little bit, but now he's doing like book reviews a lot lately of like here's a personal finance book and like a sort of step by
They're
step walking through it.
creating that content for You Need a Budget.
And it's on their channel and underneath their umbrella.
Okay. And do you think, just your spidey sense, do you think that those two people are coming up with the content ideas, or are they just executing scripts that maybe the company is creating? And like, who's directing the content stuff?
At the moment, it seems like they're pretty self-directed, partially because of the ways that both of their content output has changed. One of them is having a second baby, and her most recent video was like, let's change my budget to reflect the fact that I'm having a second baby. And so it's very personalized. And the other one is very clearly like his interest is in psychology. And so for a long time, he did money psychology videos, and now he's switching to reading money psychology books and reviewing them. So it does seem like they're directing their own work.
Yeah, it sounds like they have a lot of autonomy with what they're covering. So, in an ideal world, what would you, okay, first of all, how would you fit this in if you got another writing gig?
Great question. I think the timing would have to be a little bit divine, or I would have to have enough space to do it in tiny little bites. If I know that the whole YNAB company works remotely and that there's a degree of flexibility to the way that they do things, so I could like steal a meeting here or there if it was a consulting-y kind of thing. If it was a shooting the video myself kind of thing, that would be more challenging, but I could do things at nights. There also is no job right now. And so right now I'm in the place where I have all this abundance of free time. So if there was a push to be made, it feels like now's the moment, but also a job could drop out of the sky any day. So who knows?
Do you, okay, that answered that question. So now, in an ideal world, if you could ask for whatever you wanted from them, would you want to be the face of this nonprofit, or do you want to write the scripts and like direct the content, like create the content for them, and then they can get somebody else to do the videos?
I think part of me wants to be the face, but only if it's the content I want it to be. Like, I
Oh,
would only want to be the face of my words.
yeah.
YNAB also has a little bit of a diversity problem. A lot of the it's a very monochromatic public-facing team right now. I don't know if they know that or if they think it's a problem. But they make an effort to have diverse voices as guests on their podcast, and it's like, wow, it sure would help if there was. It's right now it's like one white woman and four white men that are the faces of this company, which is a personal finance like problem that makes it feel really unwelcoming for a lot of people. So I would be open to being the face of it. I think there's also a piece of like I wouldn't want under my own banner to be the face of it, but if it's for the YNAB YouTube channel, like I don't want to be trying to become an influencer.
Yeah,
If
right. No,
under their
yeah.
banner, then I would want to deliver it probably. Yeah.
So basically, you're going to them and going, I love your product. I love what you got going on here. I love that you're trying to include more diversity in your lineup. I see the efforts. I think you are leaving money on the table because I think that there is an income stream that you're not tapping that I know very well. And I'm well equipped to create for you a six video, 10 video, whatever series that you could have on your channel for the non-traditional earner. That's one thing I could do, but I could also consult so that woven into all of your content is languaging and a perspective that doesn't exclude and actually invites in this demographic that I just think you're missing entirely, which is a huge demographic. And I think this demographic, especially, has also room for partnerships. is this something you're interested in discussing? Would you like to have a conversation with me about how to increase your income in this direction?
That's great. That sounds
Yeah.
so good.
It's all recorded. You can take that language, but you just make a pitch and you say, right now I'm very available. Other jobs, you don't have to say you write for television, just other, I'm a consultant. Other things come up, but if you would like, to, if this is something you would like to execute throughout the, through, before the end of the year or plan for next year, yeah, I think I can make time in my schedule.
I
And
love
you're
that.
offering them a very distinct, limited thing that you can kind of control and fit into your schedule. And then you would have to work out the terms of a contract where they own the IP, and then you're getting paid for this, and you have to be okay with like this, the amount that they would want to pay you to do this work, and not only do the work, but have the assets you're creating for them live in perpetuity. And then what's that's then what's also in it for you? I mean, you have a tie to an established company, and you can say, oh, well, I created their, I mean, you'd work that in the contract where I get to be able to say when I go out and do speaking gigs that I created the da, 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 da for you. Or whatever, or I helped launch your outreach to non-traditional earners.
Yeah, it's interesting the part about like assets that live in perpetuity under another banner makes me wonder, like, is it better to just write it? Even though the performing part of it was what felt so good, I maybe just find another outlet for that and just, I guess that's a end game question for when I have clear pictures of other things.
Well, I mean, what else do you want to do with this? And I, Kate, you can weigh in if your brain is working on, and if your brain is, that did not come out correctly, like today. Is it on today, Kate? No, I meant like if your brain is like spurring with ideas or on this, feel free. Okay, that was it. You kind of want to know what you want first, like a chunk of change from the company, and you don't care. Like you can say, I love delivering this content and I'm well equipped with a background that I can deliver it. But if you wanted somebody else to, I could also just create and write it and give you the wording that you actually need. But you have to ask yourself, what do you want? Because do you want to continue? Like this is a thing. But do you want to continue to get paid to talk about this like on your own? I mean, they want might want to scoop you up and have you, I mean, in an ideal world, they're like, yes, please, and be our person and let us pay you to do speaking engagements to get people, because that's what you've been, you've now proven you're really good at getting people excited about using this product. And that is what every company needs, is people who are able to talk about it in a way that inspire people to buy it and use it. Loyal users, that's the phrase, by the way.
Real user.
I'm really good at engaging with people in a way that inspires them to become loyal users of your platform and your software. That's money language to companies.
Great.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? Like, what do you want to do? And what were you and the other head of this organization thinking? Have you guys already thought about?
Yeah, the meeting is on Tuesday, so I don't know yet if there's like a game plan in place that I can just plug myself into. So I wanted to think a little bit before to lay out some of what my goals are, and all of this is sounding great. Because this is not my primary career, important to make sure that it's keeping a limited amount of time and space in my life. But I did really like it. So I think like keeping it in that sweet spot of like not so much time that it's detracting from the other work that I know that I need to do, but enough
Yeah.
time that I can enjoy it without it being so much time that I don't enjoy it anymore. So I think that timing sweet spot is great. Like it would be really wonderful if this could be a cash flow thing because I have been having craving more cash flow and sort of struggling with the piece of the TV work I've been doing where it's like money is coming in for 6 months and then only money goes down for the other 6 months. So that's been tough. And it would be so nice if there was just like a little buoy for the rest of those 6 months. So yeah, fitting in with
It's a,
my other work.
I, again, it's sort of similar to Marisol, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. I think this is really interesting, and I think that this is really like worth investigating. And here's the thing: if you make this pitch to the company, if they like you and like what they're hearing, they will have likely ideas of like, oh, but would you want to do this or would you want to do that? Like, and then you guys can pick and choose what would be the good fit for you. And then you can design how they're using you to fit into your life.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be having you as an employee, they'd be having you as a contractor. So you would probably be doing things on a, I would probably say a project by project basis. But what if you had like two projects from them for a year? Or you had a retainer from them for a year where you did then little things when you could. Like, there's lots of ways this could work out financially beneficial to you. And I think that if they are a growing company, there is like opportunity there for actual money. Like, you know, just that nice chunk of supplemental money that you need. And what's great is you don't need a full-time income. You just need a nice chunk of supplemental money. So that feels like a very win-win thing. It's just we need to find out if they're interested and how they're interested and what they're like to work with.
Yeah.
And the great thing about this is you can bow out at any time.
Yeah.
You just want to be very, very clear and cautious in the negotiations of that they get to use your likeness, like how they get to use your likeness forever, which is what they're going to want, so that they own, you know, and you just decide if you want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also helpful because it's my manager is working with me as a writer, but is primarily a talent manager. And this might be like such a great, easy way to start up the maybe I act again conversation because she would probably have some opinions about that. So she could just like help with that.
Yeah.
That's
And another way, if I don't, because I don't know their company, so I don't know what their need is for people to do live presentations. And I just mean by Zoom or in person, like, but a live presentation where you're not recorded use, because maybe you do that live stuff and somebody else does the videos as a face of the company. Can work for the company, but not in a way where you're recorded and then posted on stuff.
That's really helpful.
So that if you become an actress, because if you get on a series, now they're like, oh my God, she's the, I mean, that's not bad or anything, but it's just like, do you want that?
That's good to think about. I was also wondering, in terms of like, is there, do you think there's a downside to sending the recording that exists to them?
Well, the caution, the thing that comes to my mind is like anything you give like that, they can just take and have someone do. You can say, you know, I would say like I do have some footage I can make. I wouldn't give them the whole thing, but I would edit together kind of a taster where it's like, oh, wow, she's good at this. And yeah, that thing. Because the way you sequenced everything and the way you put it together, that's your work. And you don't want to give them something that they go, great, I'm going to go find somebody for $12 an hour to, you know, I mean, they can try, but you know, to do this.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like the sizzle reel idea. And also it's like tailored to the organization I was speaking at. So some of the verbiage they wouldn't know, like they would be confused with some of what I was saying probably. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like just clipping the parts that I know speak to things that they're trying to get to in their brand mission now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the language from earlier that I used in the pitch part of it, you want to tell them the problem they have, that you've identified a problem and you have identified ways that it can fix it without actually spelling it out for them. That's the part they pay you for. But I could come into your house and go, oh yeah, I can. I'm assuming you'd like more flow and more space. And wouldn't it be great if you had like a dedicated work area? Wouldn't that help your bottom line? Great. I totally can see that within your budget, we can just, there's some things we can move and you barely would need to buy anything. You know, so if you're interested, I'm not telling you how, but I'm telling you, oh, I get the problem. I have some solutions. I understand, you know, how you'll feel at the end of it. Yeah.
Great.
Okay. I
Thank you. It's so helpful.
think this is super exciting. And I would just explore, explore, explore. You can always say no. You can go all the way to the contract and looking over the contract and say no.
That's exciting. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
Yeah.
that. This whole thing has been such a
Yeah.
just like I'm enjoying this, so let's just try it kind of adventure, and going from month
Yeah.
to month has been exciting, and I'm interested to see what happens next. And it's nice to remember that this is an exploration and a cash flow one at that. And so I can like also think about how much I want to put into this related to how much money is coming out of it.
Yeah, I would really, really, I'm sorry, I have something in my eye. I would really ask yourself, you know, I would be willing to like do a project that took this much time, but I want this amount of money. Because if they don't have it or they lowball you and they're like, oh, we were thinking more like $2,000, right? You can just say, oh yeah, no. Yeah.
That's
And you
nice.
walk away and you go get a writing job. Like, yeah, this is all fun. And I think the trick for you especially is the more you keep this fun,
Yeah.
the better it, the more successful it will actually be. Because so far you've kept it pretty fun and it's been going good so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So next time you have a group of your friends who want to have an investing brunch, they pay.
Yeah.
That's their first investment, is to learn how to invest.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, nominal. Just so you get used to receiving and they get used to giving. And, like, yeah,
Like
they buy you the lunch and they pay a little bit on top.
I like that.
Yeah. Good, good, good. Oh, this is very exciting. So I can't wait to hear what comes of it. There is still
Thank you
something
so
there.
much.
You're very welcome.
Oh.
Oh, there I go. I got it. I got it. Okay. Cora.
Hold on. It's always such a pain to find the unmute. I'm out of my catering got gig and was able to make it here. So I was here more for mindset. I did start that sales job and have been working about like 4 to more hours depending a day, depending on my availability, like, you know, waiting tables, and I'm taking an acting class just for this month. So it's kind of a lot. Not the sales job, just juggling it all. I knew that was going to be the case. These past couple of weeks have learned so much and I'm getting better, and he did predict pretty accurately. This was my first full week by myself, and sure enough, he's like, I think, you know, I would probably be able to book 1 to 2 meetings a day. I would assume you'll be booking like 1 to 2 a week, and he was pretty accurate. I did two. I ended my Friday with a booking of a meeting. I was inaccurate. Yeah, I was like really happy. That was such a like lovely way to end the week.
Yeah.
Just because it was like a major like win in terms of learning too, because something happened where she's like, yeah, it just was a really good like sales win in terms of like learning sales, cold call sales. And which has been like, I just feel really lucky to be learning from him because he's like literally like a magician on the phone.
Yeah.
He's so good. Like, you would just
I'm good.
never.
Let me tinkle real quick.
What's that? Oh,
Oh, wait.
somebody else just
Mute.
microphone was on.
Okay, we're good. Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, I just feel really lucky, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I am kind of right now working for free. And so, like, mentally, I'm kind of struggling. I'm also, like, not used to this. You know, when I was pretty disciplined about applications when I was, you know, I'm in my off time. I had hours and I was pretty disciplined, but I could also, like, do an application and then go put my laundry in and then, like, make some lunch and then do some more applications. This is not that. It's like you have to make calls or you're not, like, gonna move forward. So I've been finding that a little challenging in the sense of, like, okay, I dedicated these hours to it. And, like, there was a couple mornings he's like, how's it going? And I was like, I just sat here for an hour and, like, was, like, organizing emails and like for them and, like, looking at the materials and trying to understand them better and, like, understand what I'm saying. And also, like, yeah, okay, procrastinating here and there, getting a coffee too. But, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a new, like, my body, this is new. And so I'm here to sort of, like, get any insight you have in that department. And then also, the little part of me that is starting to get, like, not necessarily resentful, but could lead to resentment if money doesn't start coming in. And I'm sad because I'm not sad. I seem to have misunderstood and that it's not $50 per call booked. It's $50 per moving forward. So, like, calls don't necessarily mean $50. I get $50 if, like, which the chances they move forward with starting the project is like 80%. It's just like if they have a project they need art for, like, what if they, like, book the call, but they don't have anything they need? I don't get $50. So that was a, you know, that was my misunderstanding. That's nothing that they said. That was definitely my mistake. So I technically have a project started, and so I have earned $50, but I don't believe that client, like, didn't send the materials yet, so it's, like, not counted. And we did write up an agreement, and I got clarity on, like, what counts as a starting project and all those things, and all the pay. Thank you for that. Yeah, I just sort of am here for more mindset of, like, okay, like, I am working for free, and I know it is going to bring me more than job applications, to be totally frank. So I'm happy to be here. But I'm also like, okay, but, like, money.
I mean, that's the challenge of sales. And that's why usually people who do sales on commission base, the commission is good. I mean, it's like realtors work for hours and hours and hours, but at the end of it, they net, a couple thousands of dollars. It could even be a year's worth of income. They're just doing all the work up front. But if they get it, it's a big get. So what you're learning at the moment is, will the amount of get that I get be worth the effort I put in? But with the understanding that you are learning this ground up right now. And you're learning it from what it sounds like someone who's really good at it. So I would offer you two things. The first thing is I would say to myself, okay, this whole situation with this job is on probation in my head. And I'm going to give it 3 months, August, September, October. I'm going to give it 3 months dedicated 4 hours a day or whatever you're doing. And I'm going to write down, I'm going to keep track of my time and I'm going to keep track of the calls I book. And then I'm going to keep track of how many of the calls that I book turn into $50. I need some data to be able to decide at the end of the 3 months, is this really working? And it might not be working. You might not be good at it. You might not like it, like your heart's not in it. It could be not working because of the market at the moment. Like, there's lots of variables. It isn't like it's not working because it's a shitty job or you're bad at, like, lots of things. Okay. So you're going to track your time and all the results at the different stages.
Okay.
Then you, I heard you right, you're dedicating like 4 hours a day, 5 days a week to this.
Yeah, or it'll be like a longer day, and because, like, for example, because I work at a restaurant, me and my girlfriend never get a full day together, so we take one day during the week to be together. So like he's like, oh right, you're off on Tuesdays. Like, so I'm like, I do pull like more like an 8 hour day, a different day. But yeah.
Okay, so but basically you're putting in 20 hours a week.
That's the goal, yeah.
So in a typical 4 hour shift, like how many calls are you wanting to make, need to make, have to make? Like what's the deal?
Yeah, he said at least 10 I should be aiming for. And so that is, I just found out Friday, whereas that was definitely not the case. It was more like I made 20 in like the 3 to 4 hour block. Granted, again, getting off my hair, I can actually take put my video on now. I'm not shaving. Give me 1 sec. So yeah, yeah, it's been like 20 in 4 hours. So he's like, you should be reaching 40, at least 40 in 4 hours.
40 in 4 hours. So 10 an hour is what he's saying.
Yeah.
And is that because sometimes you're only talking for like 2 minutes and
Yeah,
then
sometimes I leave voicemails, sometimes, yeah.
okay. So I would, one of the things I would do is at the end of you, the last thing you do in your 4 hours, like you take the last 15 minutes and set yourself up so that the first thing you do the next day is like 10 calls. The first
Yeah.
thing, like no checking email, no everything's set up. Brrr, you do 10 calls. That will help with the procrastination. Ooh. And then after you do the first 10 calls of the day, you get a break. So it's
Yeah.
like 10 calls, then I can put in my laundry or whatever you would do.
Right.
But then that break has to be 15 minutes max. But take all 15 minutes by all means. And then go back and do, if you need to like then check email or arrange something or do other work, but then you want to get another chunk of calls and another chunk of calls.
Yeah, I restructured my week because I was like, well, I have 4 hours, but there are other things I need to be doing, which is, I'm also training, so I'm sharing my transcripts with him. I'm not that he expects it. He's just we're he wants we I want to learn. He's trying to teach me, so therefore the best way has been me sharing it the transcripts. Takes me a minute, and then there are times when people are just like, I'm too busy, can you just send me an email? And I'm like, oh yes, okay. So there is that aspect. So I did restructure my week so that it's 3 hours calls, 1 hour busy work. I'm still figuring out what that is gonna, where that hour is gonna lie. But it would work fine if it's like at the end of the 3 hour sprint, so to speak. But yeah, I'm also like, this is me having to figure out, because this is very this is like ultra startup where it's me having to figure out what's gonna work for this position slash me. So yeah.
And there's no way a non-seasoned salesperson is just gonna sit and do like 3 hours worth of calls, like in a row, back to back to back to back. So, dance breaks, like take some breaks. I would think of it in batches of 10, 10, 10, 10, can. And you're going to sort of discover what your rhythm is, and you can experiment and do things differently and go, oh, that worked really well there. And but yeah, but I think it will help if you just bang out the first 10.
Yeah. Start off strong. Yeah. Because what's been happening is like I procrastinated for like 45 minutes and I was like, oh no, I have 4 15 minutes to do 10 calls. And I was like, ah. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was, and then I was the next hour, it was just like trying to play catch up with somebody. I was just like, this is not happening. And then I had that last call on Friday and I was like, thank God. So, yeah. Thank
Yeah,
you.
you're welcome, Kate.
Yeah, I wanted to pop in as a seasoned phone fundraiser and just say yes, jump right in, make the calls. The more you make the calls, the better you'll be at making the calls. Just make the calls, make the calls. Definitely take the breaks, everything Christine said. But and you don't have to do it perfect. I'm sorry, New York. And the thing that made the biggest difference for me was getting better at listening. Like the more, and the more calls you make, the better you'll be at hearing those little, those little pauses, the little things, and you'll know how to direct the call after a while. And you'll also get to know like who, let's not waste each other's time. Not that you would say that, but that, you just move on to the next. I got to where like, oh, I knew who I could invite to the $50,000 donation dinner just by almost by the way they picked up the phone, not quite. And you'll also figure out what, like if you're calling high-end executives 4:30 p.m. golden. But just keep making the calls and keep listening. And congratulations
Thank
on
you.
getting these two to move forward. I mean,
Yeah.
it sounds like you don't have full control over the conversion of people, which is
No.
what you get paid for, which
Yeah.
is hard. But I
Yeah.
wanted to say again with the listening, you will get better at understanding which people convert.
Yeah.
When you look backwards, oh, that person converted, and how did that call go? And you'll get better at just spending time with the ones who are going to convert. So, congratulations.
Thank
It's
you.
not easy work, but it can be really rewarding. So, yeah.
I feel confident about it, and I am incredibly grateful to be learning this skill because I'm yeah from somebody who's very seasoned.
So let me ask you though, how is the other guy paid?
Well, he worked he's not really just because he works for his wife. His wife, I mean, he doesn't work for his wife, but he helps his wife in his business.
Okay.
I don't know what their situation is, but
Right.
I'm pretty sure he has his own full-time job, and he was doing this to help his wife, and then they decided to outsource it. So I don't know how, but he's not doing what I'm doing. I think he was for a minute just to help her, like literally a minute. And maybe that, I don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah,
Maybe that
because
was working for them, you know?
I'm wondering how many conversions do they actually think you're going to help, like you're going to be able to manufacture? Because if you get four conversions and get paid $50 for each of those, but you work 20 hours to get four a week, you're getting $10 an hour.
Yeah.
Are
Well,
you to
and
be able to get eight?
then,
Are you going to be able,
what?
with the leads and the market as it is, to get 8 to 10 to 12 conversions
Yeah, I,
monthly?
well, so I, so I get the 50. Like if they say, so I get the 50 if like the call, say, so they have the call with the founder just to go over what their needs are in terms of projects and art. And then if they're like, yeah, I have this project I need your help with, which a lot of them do, I get $50. But then if they sell a piece of like that piece of art that she found for them, I get $300. So I
Okay.
get a conversion and a closing. So, and they told me that 70% of their projects that start, so like convert, so to speak, end up selling a piece of art. So 70% of their starting projects. So I guess those percentage that we're missing right now, or I don't have, is, or I think we're trying to get at together, is what calls, amount of calls move into starting. I don't have that rate.
Yeah.
And
And tell me what you the I'm interested in what did you think you were going to get the $50 for, the booking of the call versus the
yes, I thought it was going to get $50 for just a call with Casey, not she starts the project and I get $50. So like no matter what, how many, whatever happened, as long as they booked a call with her, I thought I was going to get $50, not
Okay.
as long as they start a project with her.
Okay, so since this everybody's just kind of figuring this out, I would run crunch your numbers after chance and decide like, is this actually viable for me right now?
Totally, exactly. Yeah, that's definitely that part of me who's like, excuse me.
Yeah. And so they're obviously bringing you on. Because they need it, their thinking is like, oh, if we have this help with someone making the calls, it will translate into more money. So we just have to see if they're right. So after 2 months, you crunch your numbers because this is your payment isn't based on your own effort. It's based on their closing of the deal, having the call and then closing the project. So you want to see. Are you getting the volume on your end that enables them to do enough work on their end so that you get paid to make your it worthwhile? I still think it's great that you put in 2 months of learning. It's an amazing skill to learn or even just experience and certainly listen to someone who does it really well. So 2 months is great, but this has to translate into more than $10 an hour.
Oh, yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. Yes, 100%.
And he has to do it not in 6 months.
And that's, I'm glad that I got on this call to ask questions, because like my brain was like, oh, well, I'll give it 6 months. So like it's nice that I'm coming here and being like getting some more insight of like, no, we're gonna give this 3 months. Well, 2 months financially and 3 months
Yeah,
if
like
it.
no more than three, because technically, what they're thinking is, oh, if we have her help, this will work. But that has to be proven to be true. Yeah.
For all of us,
For all of us.
like the help also isn't gonna work for free.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, good. This is good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you, everybody, for coming and sharing. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and then I will see you back in 2 weeks, September 7th. Yep. See you. Thank you, Kate.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you so much.